Unless you have to say. Sort of a trade-off here. Next item, 208, please.
Accept bid of Faison Construction, Inc. for the Creston Park Playground Improvements Project for $1,332,810.
Colleagues, Creston Park, located at Southeast 43rd and Powell, adjacent to Creston Elementary, is one of the final remaining projects funded by the 2014 Parks Replacement Bond. But the park, which is celebrating its centennial this year, needs a little bit of TLC. This project will remove a decommissioned wading pool, expand the playground and add accessible play features, add new picnic tables and benches, and improve the ADA accessible paths. Parks conducted extensive public engagement, and this design reflects the community's desires and input. Joining us for a brief presentation are Robin Laughlin and Gary Datka from the Parks Capital team. Hello, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Robin Laughlin. I'm the Capital Renovations Program Manager with Portland Parks and Recreation. Part of my duties are to help manage the bond program. And with me today is Gary Datka, our Capital Project Manager in charge of the Creston Park project. We're here today to request Council to accept a bid from Faison Construction for the Creston Park Playground Project for the amount of $1,332,810.
Say, I have an odd request. Commissioner Fish never resigned. Can we make sure his name appears on materials like this, please?
Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely.
That makes it hard to keep going, doesn't it?
Indeed. The Creston Park project is part of the 2014 Parks Replacement Bond Program that was generously passed by voters who approved the $68 million bond measure to address critical park needs without increasing tax rates. As you know, the bond funding goes towards our park's most urgent needs in our seven priority areas: playgrounds, trails and bridges, pools, accessibility, protecting workers, Pioneer Courthouse Square, restrooms, and others. This project fits into the playground's theme, and we'll be renovating the existing defunct playground. It is the ninth playground renovation that we've been able to make in our city as part of this program. In addition to the bond funding of $1.1 million, the project was able to amplify that investment from our community by receiving additional funds from the system development charges in the amount of $950,000 to provide an expanded playground experience for kids in this neighborhood. We were also able to receive $290,000 from Portland Park and Recreation's Capital Fund ADA program in order to address accessibility needs in the park. The total allocation for this project is $2.34 million.
Looks great. Sorry, and I didn't mean to throw you off.
It's okay.
It's just jarring to see my name there. I didn't earn it.
Oh, sorry. No, sorry. I had another thing this morning.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners. Thank you for having me here today. My name is Gary Datka. I'm a Capital Project Manager with Portland Parks and Rec. I'm here today to discuss and give a brief overview of another great parks replacement playground project. I will discuss its location, neighborhood characteristics, current conditions, and the public process that we went through to arrive at the design. I will also discuss some of the details of the improvements this park will bring. Creston Park, located in Southeast Portland, generally at Southeast 45th and Southeast Powell, is a community park in the Creston-Kenilworth neighborhood and is adjacent to Portland Public Schools' Creston Elementary. This map shows the park location just west of Foster Road and south of Powell Boulevard. The park serves two census tracts split by Powell Boulevard within its half-mile walking distance or 15-minute walk boundary. Based on past combined census data, the population served is typical of Portland's race and origin characteristics, with 83% reporting as white, 6% reporting Asian, 5% Hispanic, and 3% African-American or Black. Acquired by Portland Parks in 1920, Creston Park is a developed and pastoral 14.5-acre park featuring a play area, tennis courts, restrooms, public picnic areas, outdoor pool and a pool house, a parking lot, and decommissioned wading pool. The park boundary shown here in the red box The playground is located towards the southeast corner of the park with the main access from the south at Southeast Francis. The renovated playground and picnic spaces will also provide a much-needed improvements for this park, which receives heavy use by an active neighborhood. And accessible pathway improvements will create ADA-compliant paths of travel, access to other major assets within the park. Installed in the early 1980s, the post and platform play structures and wood play equipment, few swings, are disjointed play components that are spaced too closely for kids to make a play circuit and create a cramped space for unprogrammed physical play. The existing equipment is no longer ADA compliant to current standards, lacks value, play value for collaborative and imaginative play opportunities, and has ongoing maintenance concerns. For these reasons, we feel they have reached the end of their useful life and must be replaced. Additionally, the play equipment intermixed within the large, mature Douglas fir trees is surfaced with engineered wood fiber, making access and mobility difficult for some playground users. Directly adjacent to the playground and occupying a large space, the decommissioned concrete wading pool will be removed as part of this project to expand the play area, increasing capacity and adding much play value and much more needed space. Throughout the playground renovation, Portland Parks does not anticipate the project will remove any of the existing large mature firs, and only two smaller trees within the park may be removed to accommodate accessible pathway renovations. Portland Parks conducted public involvement with students, parents, and park neighbors through a community focus group meeting and two public open houses in order to understand their perspective regarding the current uses of the playground, what's missing from the current playground, and what activities children value most in play. We also connected with neighbors about the positive aspects of making improvements to the park and solicited and discussed public feedback to gain support for the design of the play area. I'm very happy to say that at our final open house, Portland Parks received 73 respondents. 90% of those respondents either loved or liked the new playground design. With this community input and support, Portland Parks and Rec developed a final design that will construct key improvements that focus on accessible play features such as slides, climbers, swings, balance play, and spinning elements. We'll also install durable, accessible rubber safety surfaces that provide access to all play equipment in an equitable way. We'll be installing accessible picnic tables, benches, and other gathering spaces. Other site amenities such as new accessible drinking fountain, trash receptacles, and much-needed bike racks. We will also make ADA accessibility improvements to interior pathways around the play area, to existing restrooms, and to the playground from the park entries at Southeast Francis and the parking lot at Southeast 43rd. Portland Parks and Rec has an anticipated ongoing annual O&M budget for this project of $13,320. And the design consultant team led by Mayor Reed Landscape Architects utilizing a Portland Parks on-call contract supported 74% of the contract fees to WBE businesses, an additional 8% to DBE businesses, 3% to ESB businesses, totaling 85% of the $178,000 contract fees.
Commissioner Hardesty has a question.
Thank you. As I look at the subcontract opportunities, there was only 9.34% that were co-bid certified, and then 41.99% of the subcontracts were from non-certified subcontractors. But there's no demographic breakdown for the 41.99% that are non-certified. And so I'm also curious as to why we're only not even halfway to the goal for certified firms.
If I may, I'll respond to your question when I present the procurement piece. Okay. Gary was speaking to the design contract alone.
Okay.
And I can address that a little bit after my final slide, because we do have some thoughts on that.
Okay.
Commissioner
Thanks.
Fritz has a question.
No.
I was just noting that with the completion of this, and Commissioner Fritz had a huge hand in the 2014
did, yes.
Parks bond, this is sort of the last commitment that was made under that bond, was it not?
There will be one more after this.
Which is one after?
This will be Gabriel Park.
Soon.
We hope this summer. That'll be a fully inclusive play area, and we are super excited about that.
That's great. Can I ask you sort of a strange question? You may not have the exact answer, but when we designed the play structure. We're trying to make it accessible, and obviously we're trying to make it fun. And so this is sort of the latest, greatest. You said that kids tend to play in a circuit. There's also opportunities for engagement. And we're using the latest designs that kids themselves say they want to play with. So, you know, this is sort of what modern kids want to see, right? But what's the age group that we look at when we're thinking about designing the play area? It obviously, you have to think about little teeny tiny kids, and you have to think about older kids. What's sort of the age range that we think about?
I think that's it's a really good question, and it's something that we talk about with our public meetings quite a lot. Typical play equipment goes in age ranges of 2 to 5 and 5 to 12. But I'd say in all of my public experience or public engagement experience, one of the things that most neighbors ask for is play opportunities for older kids, the preteens, the teenagers, because it's one of our hardest age groups to include, especially in a playground. A lot of those ages don't go to playgrounds specifically, but we know that they go with family members or other caregivers. So I think that's where we need to allow for, you know, expanded playgrounds with SDCs to allow more of that runaround space, more social areas, whether it's social circles of rocks, you know, where kids can come together and hang out. But it's also about, sorry, Commissioner, it's also about allowing the younger kids to learn from those older kids and how they play. So really trying to make valuable experiences for older kids that younger kids can also learn from.
And then one last question.
Could I just comment on
that? Please, though? Yeah, you bet, Commissioner.
I know that you've been to Gateway Discovery Park and you are impressed. That playground, I think, exemplifies how it's designed so that all users can use it and all ages are interested in it. Two of my favorite memories were two maybe 10 to 12 year olds sitting underneath one of the rocks having a nice little conversation. And then the other one was there's an adaptive swing there, and there were two teenagers sitting back to back on the adaptive swing on their cell phones, but swinging their own back and forth. So it's an example. If you design it so that everybody can figure out how to use things, or in particular, if there isn't a single way to use something properly,
right. Kids
will figure out ways to use it.
I got to tell you, that's still my favorite park on the planet, so no pressure, but just so you know, because I still remember the beautifully colored piano at the entry when you walked in, and anybody who has small kids know that kids are so used to seeing signs that say, do not touch, you know, if you break it, it's yours, like blah, 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 right? And the sign was just so simple in its elegance. It said, play me.
You know, we have to give credit to Piano Push Play, which is a nonprofit that we haven't had a presentation on that since you've been on the council,
right. But
they put them all over in the parks, and people can donate their used pianos so that you put them out there. So, yeah,
we should bring them back.
We've got lots of partnerships.
That's awesome.
Parks has lots of partnerships that really do bring people together. Sorry, Mayor, you had one final question.
No.
One more thing for Commissioner Hardesty. Sure. This one is an inclusive playground, but it's not an entirely accessible playground. The one in Gabriel Park, we will have four. We have Arbor Lodge, which was the first Harper's playground. We have Cooch Park, which is done now. We have Gateway Discovery Park, and then we will have Gabriel Park. So inner southeast or southeast in general is the one quadrant or area of the city that doesn't yet have it, and that's for a future parks commissioner to decide how to allocate system development charges to do that.
Awesome. Thank you. Commissioner Udaly had a question.
Well, I just want to commend the Parks Bureau for adding another inclusive playground to our inventory. My first interaction with City Hall was an attempt to expand adapted swings across the city. My son has cerebral palsy. He has a severe physical disability. And in a typical park, the only thing that he can really enjoy doing is sit and watch or swing if there's an adapted swing. And there weren't very many back in the early 2000s. There was a concern at the time, and also I'll say our standards for accessibility are very minimal and don't lead to meaningful inclusion, which is a ramp to the playground, an ADA accessible surface and a transfer platform on the play structure. And for a child who depends on a wheelchair or walker, that's just not adequate. I lost my train of thought. You said something.
Getting old too, huh?
No, I'm definitely getting old, and I'm real tired right now.
Really? So, why?
Well, I've had one day off in the last 7 weeks. I won't mention why. But at the time, there was concern at the Bureau that if I got what I wanted, which was 50 swings dispersed across the whole city in playgrounds that were already ADA accessible and had an existing swing set, that we'd be over-serving kids with disabilities. And as Commissioner Fritz noted, everyone enjoys these features. And in fact, our accessible playgrounds are among some of our most popular, such as Washington Park and Harper's Playground at Arbor Lodge, which I was an early supporter and fundraiser for. And it can be really overwhelming for kids with significant disabilities and families to navigate spaces that are super crowded and overused. So I love that we're dispersing them now across the city. You don't have to drive as far to have accessible fun. And I hope to see this continue.
So Robin, could you please give Commissioner Udaly an update as to how many playgrounds now have adaptable swings? Because I know that most of the bond, not right now, but...
She looks like, yes, Commissioner, I'll try.
Because I know that most, if not all, of the bond projects, playground improvements, we do include them. So I think that would be a good milestone for you to...
I do just want to make a clarification, because sometimes the words get mixed up. This will be an accessible play area, not an inclusive play area. Gabriel Park will be an inclusive area, which is in the lines of Gateway Discovery Park, Harper's Play at Arbor Lodge. So this is an accessible play area. There's several different types of play experiences that will be accessible for kids that get around with wheels. There are adaptive swings. There'll be two adaptive swings. The spinners, you can transfer from chair into the spinner, and you can feel that motion. It's too bad Commissioner Hardesty left. We do try and include music of some sort in all of our playgrounds.
Love
because
that.
I think that sensory experience is paramount for a lot of kids, and I think as we start to lose some of our music classes in younger grade schools, this is just a really great outlet for kids to bang on something and make music from it. So
yeah, there's the official use of inclusive, and there's the more, I guess, casual use. And for me, anything that's physically accessible and includes something my son can enjoy, it is inclusive, which may be a sad testament to how inaccessible and not inclusive many spaces are, but I appreciate the clarification.
Great. So then I'm going to finish up, if that's okay.
Yeah, thank you.
We just get so excited.
Stay here all day.
I mean, I'll talk about players all day long if you like.
He told us to shut up so he can finish his report.
Go ahead.
Fair enough.
Go for it.
The successful bidder for the project is Faison Construction for the amount of $1,332,810. Faison is a certified M and DBE business, performing 48.6% of the work. Included in the contract is an additional 9.3% of the work will be performed by certified firms, 1.9 to WBE and 7.5 to ESB. So we are here today to ask Council to accept a low bid from Faison Construction for Creston Park Play Improvements. With the acceptance of this bid, we would proceed with construction set to begin yet this spring, and we anticipate being completed by this fall. I'm happy to answer more questions.
And I think in response to Commissioner Hardesty's earlier question, my recollection is that Faison Construction is a minority contractor.
They are,
so the
yes.
prime contractor and is minority.
I do also just want to add, so Faison, I worked with them at Glenhaven Park. I'm happy to have them on this project. They've already had some discussions with me about ways to get those numbers up. It does mean changing out some materials that we're not typically using at parks. We've tried to standardize a lot of our materials so that maintenance considerations are easier for us. So in order to switch out one product, we do need to do a little bit of back-end work, but that would be an excellent way of bolstering that number, and that was brought to us by Faison. So I do want to say that they are cognizant of that.
I greatly appreciate that, and I just want to say that I have the same expectation of minority contractors that I do of majority contractors, right? If we set an aspirational goal, I don't think they get a free pass just because they're a minority-owned firm. So I have the same question for everybody, so I appreciate the response to that. Thank you.
Could you say again what the ongoing maintenance for this park is going to be?
The O&M budget is $13,320.
Oh, per year.
Not bad.
I'll entertain a motion.
Move to accept the report.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Udaly. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Fritz. Thank you for your work on this. You know, you summarized the community process. This was not an easy community
it wasn't.
Process. And the fact that you got to near consensus at the end is a testimony to that. It actually wasn't a very easy project internally either, because there were some fairly strenuous discussions between urban forestry and recreation and the bond project, et cetera. And you were able to work it all out. So thank you so much. Thank you, former director Mike Abate, interim director Kia Selly, and current director Adina Long for their support of this bond process. Robin, you've done amazing work throughout. You all have. I feel really happy with how it turned out. And as we had some discussions yesterday with the parks staff as far as next steps for funding, it's really clear that when you do what you're saying to do, what you say you're going to do, as was in the previous discussion, if you make a promise, you keep a promise. And we have kept our promises on this. And I'm extremely happy to go around the city still and see them all with happy families just enjoying your great work. So please say thank you to all of the park staff for this. And also, again, thank you to Commissioner Fish and his staff for continuing up the project. I know that there are some final things that he has planned to get done that you'll be announcing in the future, as well as the amazingly good work that's so necessary on how do we provide ongoing sustainable funding for parks, both for construction, maintenance, and operations. So I appreciate my colleagues recognizing that when you bring on new facilities, starting a few years back, we said that yes, we are going to maintain them, we are going to add to the budget, and so I appreciate that we're going to be doing that. Aye.
Hardesty.
I'd love to have a conversation with Commissioner Fish, because he would always want to prove to me what a fabulous job Prox was doing around minority contracting. And he would always go, yeah, we'll talk in detail. But he knew that the questions would come and that I would be appreciative of the very intentional work that Prox has done to ensure that Prox not only benefits all community residents, but that we also are making opportunities available to grow small minority and women-owned businesses so that they become primary contractors and are able to go out and hire other subcontracts. And I think Prox has been a model in helping us achieve those goals. So want to be very clear, I'm very grateful for the work that you've done. I can't wait to see the conclusion of this bond and to see what vision we have moving into the future, ensuring everyone has access to the beauty that our parks make up. I vote aye.
You, Daly.
Well, I'm just going to say ditto to all the thank yous that Commissioner Fritz already enumerated. I also have a hard time talking about Commissioner Fish without getting emotional. I will say that he took a particular interest in the challenges that I faced as the parent of a child with a significant disability, and I feel like he really quickly integrated that into his thinking, not just about parks, but about bathrooms and other issues that he had a hand in at the city. I will say that I'm thinking about summer vacation and travel with a child who has complex health needs and mobility challenges is very difficult and very expensive, because I have to bring one or two helpers with me, and air travel is not really feasible, and I have to have a specialized van. And although I'm in a position where I can afford that, most families like ours can't, and it's just yet another reason why these parks are so vital. So I'm excited to visit it. I think we're going to do a summer parks tour of all these accessible and or inclusive playgrounds, and I better start working out now for those lifts and transfers. I'm happy to vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, I want to thank everybody who's been involved in this at the Parks Bureau. I, of course, want to thank Commissioner Fritz again for her longstanding leadership and really pushing this forward and carrying that 2014 Parks bond. And Commissioner Fish was doing a fantastic job with the Parks Bureau. And I appreciate his work and the work of his staff and all the folks who had anything to do with this. This is just great. It's one more of those great spaces where people can come. They can see themselves there. They can feel welcome there. The community can engage. Kids can play. It's the best of all worlds. I'm happy to support it. I vote aye. The report is